Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. Welcome back to the American Music Show. And the number is 347-637-3942, 347-637-3942. If you want to call in, you can, and talk to our guest tonight, Mr. Colonel Mike Ford, former colonel, never former, really. And that's how we operate. And so we are going to go, and we have some comments here. We're going to go bring our guest on now, Mr. Mike Ford, and welcome back another week, another great guest, and let's see what's going on here. Sir, welcome to the program. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show. It's good to have you. You are the managing editor of the American Free News Network. I love how that sounds. I know I can go to your network and I don't have to work. I can't watch the network news. I can't watch NBC, ABC, all those people because I can't trust them, not even Fox. So I like truth. And I understand you've written for many other papers as well. And my question is, how did you become the managing editor of this newspaper, American Free News Network? Right. Right. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I noticed that you're 501c3, which is fantastic.
We take no advertising. You'll see on our front page we have a list of fellow pastors. And it's nice to put you on there.
So yeah.
No matter what, we won't accept any money from you. What we do is we put on our front page a list of fellow travelers, which are maybe companies or news outlets or whoever that are walking the same conservative direction we are. We may disagree on a couple of things, but the disagreements on how best to advance conservative thought. So we're not going to, you know, put up with any leftist stuff.
Right.
That's how I got to where I am today.
So where did you get the values you write about? And I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but are they come from your childhood? Did it come from your military background? Academy, which is congratulations, not many people can do that, and I applaud that. So why would you choose the Academy over Joe Blow College? Interesting. So your dad, probably like mine, my dad influenced me. He was a master sergeant in the Air Force, and that was the life I lived, okay? I knew at high school I was going to go to the Air Force. I didn't care. That's what I was going to do because I knew that life. Did that happen? Was that same thing in your favor there, your dad?
It was. Hey, my dad shakes his head, you know, especially when I write about, walking around with a 100-pound rucksack and, you know, flying airplanes and, you know, being out in the rain, and, you know, instead of flying a high-performance aircraft, my dad just shook his head.
All those high-performance flying pilots, they are all gray-haired in 10 years, so just think about the stress they go through. But I'm sure the Army does it too. Yeah, right. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm proud of the Army and the Air Force are very close. They're almost the same thing. And you were in the Guard at one time, is that correct? Or Reserve?
I was actually in the Reserve. I was the only component in the National Guard.
I've been active duty. Oh, really? That's interesting.
The last job I had, I did such a bad job at it. I was out of retirement.
That's so unusual. That doesn't happen. I've never heard that happen to anybody that I know. That is interesting. But, you know, because of your rank and what you do, I could see that happening, though. If you're a colonel and they need your talents, yeah, I can see that.
I'll tell you, and this is not false modesty or anything. But things that I think is, you know, say, hey, congratulations, you made it early. I had a whole bunch of smart people.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Especially my last command sergeant major. Tell you, he still has, you know, issues about, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been so good to this guy.
Right. But, you know, it's everybody helping everybody else. So I want to know this. I want to know what it's like to be in action. To, what's the attitude in a zone like that?
Found out when I left on the task force was that we didn't deal with any of the military drafts.
Yes.
In fact, I'm working on a series of what's called Tales of the Trail Pass. And basically, it centers around a young captain who was my deputy who went north to the first in 2003. And what happens is when we went north to the berm, this young captain was routinely making decisions that would be reserved to the 06 and maybe even one star level back to the headquarters way.
Gotcha.
Because when we signed our case, we just didn't get it. And we didn't necessarily wait for capacities for higher headquarters. We saw a requirement and said, oh, we're going to do this. We didn't wait around for somebody to tell us to do it.
Yes, I like that.
So that's the plus side of being in combat. Like, you can do it going to. The other part of it is there were four companies saying that kept me from wetting myself with the fact that I was in charge and I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of the soldiers or in front of my sergeant.
Right.
So I stood out there and what's the old saying? You know, was it bravery is the only way you know what to do the most reason.
Right. I like that. Yeah.
You know, those are the two ends of that I saw. It was opportunity. It wasn't enjoyable. It was the most satisfying thing I've ever done. It was like a 2 month experience. It was the most satisfying thing I've ever done. So we went up there, we did our job, and, you know, the grace of God, we have all of them, and no part of it.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what our commanders used to tell us. They used to tell the families, we're going to bring all our boys home. All our troops are coming home. That's our job, safely. So
I used to tell my young soldiers that they would, and even, you know, prior to our move up there, there were some of them were kind of like, you know, Bobby, such a, you know, and I would tell them, I really don't care if you like me.
I love it because my wife hates when I say that. Well, somebody says, I don't really care what they said. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. What they do is what they do. What I do is what I do. So I same thing in the military. If you're in charge of something, you're doing your job. You have to use your judgment and everything. So I'm sure there's a lot of situations you were in where people didn't like what you did or said. Or I'm sure there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
The other thing it taught me is, suppose, you know, when you move off to the political side, start looking at elected officials and what you're electing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's always bothered me is the experience of it. Obama,
Right.
John McCain was a center. Okay, the last buck stops your job was back in the heat of a squadron commander in the Navy.
Right.
Barack Obama had never had a buck stops your job. Never,
yeah.
Ever at any time. Now, yeah. All of a sudden, you know, he got promoted to the highest buck stops your job in the way, you know, the guy with the football walking around with him in the news. The same with Joe Biden. He's never ever worked a buck stops your mm-hmm. job. He's never ever signed the front of a paycheck. Never been in charge of anything. Never been the guy responsible. When I looked at the 2018 campaign of the four folks at the top of the ticket, and you know, Obama, Biden, right, and McCain and Palin, and the one with the most relevant executive experience to buck stop your job was Sarah Palin.
Right, exactly.
Think about that. She had been a mayor. She had been a governor.
Right.
And then after her was McCain, whose last being in charge job was a squadron commander in the Navy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember those times I was in when Obama was president, and it was the worst, most lean times in my career. Nobody got raises. There was not money to do anything. Sequestration was going on, and it really hit us hard. So do you have the same kind of thing? Can you tell the difference who the president is when you're in the military? Yes, I agree.
And does he really care, or does he politically care? And does he really care, but he can do the tough thing?
Right.
I'm the commander-in-chief, and I care for you, but guess what, guys? You ain't going to get a raise, and I can't give it to you. And be a commander and walk in there and say, I can't do it. And here's why.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Right. I agree. Yeah, it does because, you know, yeah, I know McCain was a pilot in the Navy, and they blamed him for things that happened, terrible things on the force, all that. But he's out there for another reason. You know, do you realize he took away our flying missions in Ohio and moved them to Arizona because he had that kind of power? That's the kind of stuff you got to deal with. And it's like, why are you doing it? You're taking jobs away from Ohio. You're putting them in your own state because you don't care about it. It's the United States of America. And if you were going to be president, you can't act like that. So I had problems with him. I'm not going to say if he was president, I'd still, you know, he'd still be my commander in chief. We have one now that's not even recognizing, you know, what's going on in Ohio, at East Palestine, and it didn't even recognize a president's day, nor did the vice president. So we have, this is a whole other world here. This is like when the hyenas took over Pride Rock. This is exactly what this is like. Everything's gone negative, downhill, divisive, and they said Trump was divisive, but that wasn't the case. A lot of things are going to happen in the near future. We're going to see how things really are. So how would you adapt if you're still in today with all the things going on and the requirements they give the Army people? And yes. Yes.
Recommend they go into National Guard. States may be that and local may be our ultimate line of defense.
I'm glad you said that, because I tell everybody the National Guard is the original Minuteman. So I even have a Minuteman over here that I got when I retired. So in my opinion, we have our F-16s, we have our Army stuff. Because when it comes down to it and that happens, people are going to mount up. They're going to forget about the rules or whatever. When you're under threat, you're going to react and respond. And I do know. Wow. Yeah, exactly. They want to get rid of the A-10 daytime. They're probably one of the best planes in the fleet. I'm sure the Army guys, yeah.
As a literature man, I'm in love with the A-10.
Yeah. 30 millimeter depleted uranium is never after the A-10. I love it. Yeah, I've worked on a couple of A-10s in my past. The big airplanes, they're bigger than you think. Yeah. So, no, it's like capabilities. Okay, since you know about the Guard and Reserve, did you know back in 2013, the red line Obama drew? I'm just bringing this up. I don't know if you're familiar with how things are going under sequestration. We were over in Africa. Nobody in the Air Force could fly a plane because of the rules of sequestration. Then he said, we're going to do the red line. We were there, and they moved us to another location. There was no active duty people anywhere. It was all Guard. The Guard was the entire Air Force. That's how dangerous we were to having a disaster happen. So people don't know that, but I'm spreading it out now. This is what was done. We were so gutted at that time. So the only Air Force planes could taxi to the end of the runway, and that was it, and they taxied back. This is how scary it was. But we were everywhere. We were in demand, and nobody else had any ability to do anything unless they were activated. It was crazy. But I saw it with my own eyes, and I said, I can't believe this is happening. This is not the military. I got in, you know, and I retired at 15. I couldn't believe what was going on. And all the, you know, we got to respect all the women, and we got to respect the gays, and you can't make these jokes. You can't do anything. So, and I'm not saying there's a right to do, but they just took away your free speech. And it was prosecutable. That's the kind of military it was in 2015.
The question that you have to ask is a disorder.
Right.
Okay, transgender folks that wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God.
I think on this stuff, even though my songs and equipment say I'm not.
No way.
That's the issue.
Happened. Tucson Guard, a guy dressed up in woman's dress, blues. Yeah.
And for folks that have been in the service know this. Okay, making sure their toolbox out to the aircraft to work on the engine.
There you go.
So for those that haven't been in the military, one of the things that I would like to point to is if you look at the movie Saving Private Ryan, there are two things in there that show just the brutal physicality of combat. And the first is the beach scene there,
mm-hmm.
where these guys are jumping off the landing craft and having to avoid drowning while trying to make it to shore. And oh, yeah, by the way, the Spandaus are putting machine guns around the combat. Quickly and killing them off. That's one. And then the other is more up close and personal. If you remember the stairway scene, there's an American soldier and a German soldier, and they're fighting for a bayonet in the stairwell.
Right.
And all close and personal, and they're going at it. And the German finally overpowers him. And it's not a big boom like that. It slowly overpowers him, puts him down, and slowly sticks the knife in him and kills him. Okay? That's what combat's about. This is not for girls. Okay? This is for men. Okay? It's a testosterone thing. Okay? So combat and combat formations, squads, platoons, and companies, and battalions, okay, are a locker room. And what motivates these men is not highfalutin things about country and all that. It's the company of other men. You know, you watch football players where they do the chest bump after a touchdown.
Yeah, right.
Makes worry. Now, up at the cerebral level about determining, okay, we're going to need tanks this way, and, you know, set some A-10s over that way and all that, that's one thing. But down in the squad, platoon, company, and battalion level, in combat arms and special forces formation, you know, this is a male thing. This is a guy thing. You know, women don't need to be involved in it.
Men and women are different. That's all there is to it. And like you were saying earlier about what is it good for? I mean, all this stuff that they bring in. And I argued myself, as you know, this is a distraction. This has nothing to do with, you know, your job in the military. It has nothing to do. You're not your own person. That's the one thing you don't own yourself in the military. They own you. And you do your job. Yes. Right. It's a selfless thing, you know, in the Air Force, service for self. That's one of the mottos, because you got to work hours and hours. It's not about, I got to go in or anything. You got to work the flight line so you get it fixed. There's no me in the military. There should never be. You got to work with everybody else. And, you know, I don't want to see that, you know, I saw so many things during that administration that blew my mind. It's like, okay, people are free to marry, so all these people come out of the woodwork. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know anything about your personal life. I don't care about your personal life. I care about whether you're part of the team. All the other stuff you do, I don't want to know. Okay, I just work together, and you get the mission is number one. They're distracting from the mission. The mission isn't to come in dressed like somebody else or have an identity. You don't have an identity. Your identity is U.S. Army or U.S. Air Force. That's all we need to know. So, I mean, and people in the back, there were people like that. There were homosexuals, but they kept it, you know, they kept it to themselves. And, you know, because it wasn't about them. Everything's about everybody these days. All these kids and everything, TikTok, all that stuff is all about, look at me. And we're in a poor culture right now.
Mm-hmm. And all these other things, because it's all measuring me and what do I look like. Let's go back to this marriage thing. It's about an individual right.
Right.
Marriage was a societal concept. It was embedded to achieve the objectives of society, not individuals. Okay, marriage isn't, and glad my wife is off at a meeting. Marriage is, you know, marriage was put together by society to achieve societal objectives. Protect women, protect children, determine fraternity, determine, you know, inheritance and property rights and all those other things. That's what it's there for. It's a societal view. Now, if your state decides that marriage, you know, the state legislature, which is where that belongs, not the federal government, decides that the best interest of the state of Alabama or Florida or wherever, that we are going to recognize, you know, the marriage between two emotionally disordered people. That's fine. You can do that. If that's the state's objective, but it has nothing to do with individual rights. It has to do with the state wants to do with that institution. And, you know, people get all that out of shape about it. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. I'll let you go, sir. I know you got to go. How's your time?
We got a few more minutes. Go ahead.
I want to know what you think. Okay, well, I want to know what you think of East Palestine, Ohio.
I'm going to say something.
Okay.
Couple dumb things that he did, like letting Brian and McConnell roll him on the first budget, and his absurd comments on eminent domain, black Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that, although it's not a good political look for Biden to be over in Ukraine with East Palestine going on, Palestine is not a federal issue.
True.
Okay.
Right.
Is a local issue, is a state issue, the only federal issue that I can see is if the railroad, you know, is not meeting interstate commerce standards. Okay? So that's the federal issue there. Is I like to tell people the job of the federal government is to print the money, declare the wars, deliver the mail, and make sure the railway gauge between the great state of Alabama and Georgia is the same, so they link up. In other words, to promote
interconnection.
Yeah, to regulate interstate commerce. And back then, regulate meant to keep a good working order. So it's all, you know, if the federal government has an issue that the rail bed, you know, caused the derailment there, and that was the issue, that's a federal issue. Okay, but the cleanup and all that, not a federal issue. That is between the state and the railroad.
I see your point completely. The other thing is, it's usually customary for the president to tour an area. I know it hasn't gone to federal, but, you know, I think it will, because this is going to other states. It's covering Ohio. It's going through Indiana. This is a bigger thing than Ohio it's going to turn into, possibly. But when that happens, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Bad thing about Trump is if he sees a problem, even if it's not a federal issue, he's going to jump in there and try to drag
yes. Okay.
And one of the things that we need to get back to is understand that not everything is a federal issue to take care of.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, this thing may not be the hill I need to die on, but it's something, it's a discussion that we need to have that maybe, you know, part of this may be a federal issue. It crosses interstate lines. Well, you know, if other states are involved and they can work it out between themselves, you know, the state compact deal with it, I think they ought to do it. I think the less that we involve the federal government in things, the better we are. Because
I agree. Yep. But I don't agree with I think Ukraine is a state now, so I'm pretty sure they're one of our National Guards now, because okay, yes. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to bring that up, but I know as a military guy, let's just back off for a second. As a military guy, what are your thoughts? Because that is not one of our states, not our country, it's not our military. How dangerous is that? And you're, because you have an analytical mind, and you've been to places and done things that most of us haven't. You've got to. Wow.
And so, you know, I look at what's going on there, and I'm probably going to irritate conservatives. Scoping trade out as a fugitive ally is perfectly constitutional.
Okay.
Handing federal checks to people that are down and out on their luck in the United States is not. People don't like to hear that, but one is federal and one is a state or local issue.
Absolutely.
Having said that, when we go about helping Ukraine out, and there is a good reason to help them out, because from the bad guy, I don't think it's dangerous to think bad about it.
Right.
I think China's the real issue.
Yes.
But I think we should help out Ukraine, but two things. Number one, supply of money is unlimited.
Right.
Next time we talk, remind me to talk to you about how government folks do the billionaire and the billionaire thing and interest taxpayers. We can talk about that.
Sure.
But the tax isn't unlimited. We have American taxpayers that work their butts off by money to the federal government. And if they're using it for a constitutional purpose and something that would benefit the United States, I'm fine with that. Okay, but it's not unlimited. And then number two on that, is that there needs to be an audit trail. You know, war is messy and sloppy, and yes, there's going to be some waste, and there's going to be some corruption there. You know, we can't get it to zero, but we damn sure need to have people over there keeping an eye on this stuff to make sure that the vast majority of the bullets, beans, and money going over there are doing things that are going to enhance U.S. objectives and reasons in the region.
I think that's coming, too. I think it is, because NTG was talking about that very thing. So we don't know, because we knew that it went to FTX and that people were getting kickbacks. If all the money went there, I'd be happier, but that's not what's happening. So anyway. Mm-hmm.
And just because Biden is doing it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I mean, 99% chance it's bad, but there is that 0.1% chance that he might be doing something right. You know, whether by design or accident. You know, like they say, blind hog finds an acorn.
Yes, right. Well, sir, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to let you go. I want to respect your time. And I enjoyed having you on. Sure. Awesome. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I like the fact that you're not just an officer. You're an academy graduate. You're combat proven, and you have tactics. You know tactics. I know nothing about. So I admire the Army guys. You guys did chemical warfare 10 times better or more than we did. We just did out of the service. You guys have trucks and everything else. You got decontamp truck, all kinds of stuff I never even heard of. So you guys do it for real. Right. Well, thank you for your service again. And thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Yes, sir. All right. That was awesome guest. Oops, we got a comment here. What is this? A couple of comments. Okay, awesome. So anyway, pretty good show, pretty awesome. So yeah, Mr. Mike Ford, fantastic. I love talking to the Army guys because, you know, they're doing it for real. They do it. They have a little more danger than the Air Force guys because we have hotel rooms and they have Oh, there you go, Pete. Hi, Pete. How you doing? Would you like to come on? So, let's see what this thing is. Mr. Garcia, one of my F-16 buddies from Fort Wayne, Indiana. We work together every once in a while, and fantastic guy, excellent electrician. He actually worked on an F-100. It was a 186. Let me see if I can find him real quick. I'm going to invite him on real quick. Fantastic guy. He worked with a guy, his last name was White too. So, I don't know his first name, but good people at Fort Wayne. They worked A-10s and all that, so. And that's the end of the radio program. And let's see what we got here. One second. And that's it. All right, here we go. F-100. Yeah, I love that. That's a real man's airplane right there. Wants a Dean Cutshaw. I ought to have him on. I should have him on. Yeah, there you go. There we go. All right, Mr. Garcia, I'm going to be joining us here. You ready to come on, Pete? I sent you the link. It's in your inbox if you're wanting to come on. So anybody else, I have a link. I might post that link here. You can talk about anything you want. I just appreciate my fourth coming on and telling us what's happening, what time it is at the Army, and what he's doing. He's doing a fantastic job. And I think I might end up writing, I'm pretty sure I'll end up writing for him, giving him articles. We're both in the same American magazine here. So, Mr. McCullough. Jonathan McCullough Sr., he's a great guy. Let's see here. Who else do we have on here? Always, yeah, we always have people from the network. Great to see you guys. Great to have you on board. So, okay, cool. See if we can do this. I'm going to bring in. Here we go. Great. You got it. I gave it to you. Be careful what you do with it. I'm just saying. So let me go back to the studio here. So the radio show is complete. And now we are back. Here we go. Things are lined up. We have possibilities here. So I've been on a lot of other programs recently. Okay, there you go. There's Pete. Mr. Garcia. Okay, Mr. Garcia, we lived the dream. He moved out to Alamogordo area and worked F-16 after his retirement. That right there is a team I would love to do something like that, but I just, so far away. Not really far away, it's just, I'm not there yet, but I'd love to do that. Maybe later in life. It's a lot of wear and tear on your body, though. So, hey, Pete, can you get me Mr. Cutshaw? Can you possibly have him on my program? I think that'd be great. With videos and pictures and all that stuff, and you know how that goes. So what I got to do right now, there's this program. So, you know, guys, get that out. But this is what we're headed for. This is going to be a little break I'm going to take. I'm going to show you this video, so I'm going to present this real quick. So I'm going to share the screen, and we're going to go to another tab here. This is it. I'm going to share this. Tell me what you guys think. Are we getting this far? Are we going this close? Here we go.
Walking down the street in his BBTs, no shoes on.
Ohio, up there, East housing is terrible. It may be a state issue, but, you know, it's high visibility and it affects, you can at least say you care about it. That's my opinion. I think if you care about something, you get the support of the people who support people, that's a good thing. So, hi, Sarah Nichols. You guys? Yeah, I don't know what that was, but it's gone now, isn't it? So forget you heard that. That didn't go in your ears. What is going on here? So what I need to do, is to go. Well, again, let's try that. Oh God, I can't echo anything. So.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but it's gone.
Yeah. Headphones. Okay. So I'm wondering what's going on. So I have to shut this show down. Right. Someone in this broadcast, thanks everybody. Pete, get with me. I need his address. I need his phone number. If you can finagle something, that would be the greatest thing. That's better than the Thunderbirds. Just saying. We got to have that happen. So thank you, buddy. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Sorry for me to go. Peace out. God bless America. Okay. Yeah, good. You got thumbs up. I'm giving you a thumbs up. All right. What was that?
much.
Kind of didn't keep reading that much. That's not what I meant. That was in my mind. I don't know how Peter does too.
Who cares?
And it wasn't about me worried about that because he was on Peter's show last week.
Oh, it was your show.
I know, but I just tell him my format. Because it was about bringing him on, well, I came on versus reading
his back. I know,
but
you were competing to him. It's your show.
No.
You tell him this is the way it is.
I did. I said, I don't know how Peter does it, but I'm going to put you in the back.
All right. I hear you. You don't have it.
Yeah, okay, here's what happened. I get on and it says, I'm not recording. So I go to the webpage and stuff in there, and then all of a sudden it shows up. So I'm trying to manage that, and I'm talking to him before it comes on. And I'm like, uh-oh, okay, now what do I do? Is this going to even record? So I was like, I'm trying to do this other stuff. So try and talk at the same time. So.
All right.
Yeah, it was. But I told everybody what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. You okay? You're sleepy. What is your body telling you to do? You want some vinegar? You want some vinegar or cheese? Okay. Hold on. Okay. Watch yourself. Why are you making this machine?
Yeah, I'm going to.
That guy looks like a guy from the 70s. He's a time traveler. Great aim for respect. I know, but I'm right. People working in the police department don't recognize like that. Bring the car around. Oh my goodness. I'm put your question. That's discrimination.
But she's coming.
The boss. There's nothing there. Don't. There you go. He's out of control. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's just, he's like Mayor Catlett. It's all for him.
Yeah, but he's not even the mayor.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
He, I think he's a commissioner.
I don't know.
He's untitled.
Yeah.
Three hours.
Oh, it's the check. Yeah.
Yes, that's setting up.
Well, that's your voice language.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look right.
I mean, it's kind of like it's not. But, anyway, you know, see, I just added, you know, it's Tom, dear chef, and he doesn't want to do it. He's always asking me.
Oh.
Pretty generous, though. If you look at Miami City, they're making 3 or 4 points.
You know they do that, right?
What? He just doesn't like him.
Yeah, it's crazy. Recorded too. No. Well, that's right. It's very tough. You would work at your restaurant, I'd do the same thing. Thank you. Oh, yeah, we got it. We did it. I got it. Don't worry about it.